Throughout history, the number of artists who carried on a tortured relationship with the bottle are too numerous to count. But few drinks had the kind of grip on the art world that absinthe had in late 19th century France. The emerald green apéritif was the drink of choice for French Bohemia. Absinthe was known as the Green Fairy and is often described as the heroine of its day. And it was used with the same kind of ritualistic precision, mixed with water and often poured over sugar cubes to take the edge off. With an 80% alcohol content, the licorice-flavored liqueur packed quite a wallop.
Some people said it tasted disgusting, like sucking on a copper coin. There was extra aniseed put into it, which made it smell very nice, and it was like a tiny little dose of LSD, for example. It gave people just a slight different edge on reality.
Jay Adams is the author of Hideous Absinthe, A History of the Devil in a Bottle. It's the story of absinthe's powerful influence on culture in the late 1800s. The drink was eventually banned in many countries, but not before it came to symbolize the free-spirited decadence of the French art world. It was associated both with creative brilliance and tragically ruined lives. Adam says absinthe was, for a time, all the rage in Paris.
Absinthe became popular in France in about the 1830s because there'd been imperial wars in the north of Africa where French soldiers had been fighting there, and they'd been using absinthe as an anti-malarial because it grows naturally there and it was a natural remedy being used by the Algerian people. But in order to make it more palatable, they mixed it with alcohol and then drank that down. And they brought that taste back to Paris with them, and the middle class were making lots of money. The entrepreneurs of Paris wanted to associate themselves with their successful military, so they started drinking the same drinks. Suddenly, it was the most fashionable thing to do, to be drinking absinthe in the boulevards of Paris.
And absinthe was very closely tied to the artistic community, particularly in France. A long list of artists and writers either used absinthe or had depictions of the drink in their work. Van Gogh, Hemingway, Toulouse-Lautrec, Manet, Gauguin, Picasso, the list is quite long. What was the effect on their art?
Well, you're right, Michelle, to talk about a difference between people who depicted absinthe and people who drank absinthe. And people like Degas and Manet depicted absinthe drinkers, but that's because they were realists and they were looking at life as it really was around them and saying art should depict this life that we see in the cafes or on the streets. They're separate from the people who drank an awful lot of it, people who didn't have a lot of money like Van Gogh, but was given to using whatever drug was available in excess. He drank coffee in excess sometimes, for example, in order, he said, to reach that high note of yellow. That was the sort of way he thought. If he could stimulate himself in some particular way to get a different idea for his pictures, he'd do it. So Van Gogh using absinthe was just another thing that he did in the chain of things which made him a great creative artist. I wouldn't like to ascribe to drugs any part of the genius of Van Gogh.
But in the book you do detail the often tortured relationship that some artists had with absinthe, and Van Gogh was one of them. And you note that his most productive period was when he moved to France and took up this drink.
Yes, that's completely true. When he moved to Paris, moved in with his brother Theo, he started drinking absinthe, and that corresponds with the time when he started painting these wildly brilliant pictures. He started using this carnival of colour, where previously, though his work had been very good, he'd been painting pictures like The Potato Eaters, for example, which is a very dark canvas full of blacks and browns. But along with using absinthe when he went to Paris, he was also coming under the spell of the Impressionists, who were using much brighter colours. And there were also changes in the chemical industry, which allowed much brighter paints to be produced, and also for paints to be produced which could be put in tubes, so people could take them out and paint in the fields, as Van Gogh did.
What about the literary community at the time? Writers?
Well, the most famous absinthe drinker is Paul Verlaine, the poet, and Verlaine specifically blamed absinthe for his many occasions of bad behaviour, his awful behaviour towards his wife and his fighting and his dirtiness and so on. And I don't think that it's reasonable to say it was absinthe that made him such a strange and difficult personality. The reason why he liked to say it was, however, is as an absinthe defence. because everyone at that time, at the end of the century, was blaming absinthe for all the ills which were befalling French society. And so it's convenient for Verlaine to say, that wasn't me, that was the drug that did it.
Just curious, if absinthe was not directly related to what you eventually saw on an artist's canvas or read in a writer's work, why was it so popular in the artistic community?
Absinthe was part of the general scene. It was like if you were producing art in the 1960s, you were almost certainly smoking cannabis, or you were in a scene in which lots of people were smoking cannabis. That doesn't mean the cannabis has to be reproduced in some way in the canvases or the pieces of art that are finally produced. It was part of the art scene, and it was depicted as part of the art scene, and it certainly had a stimulant effect on the brain.
And what about today? What of absinthe today?
Well, after the fall of the Berlin Wall and the fall of the Soviet Empire in 1989, lots of people started going to Eastern Europe to see what they'd been missing, and people went to Czechoslovakia, where absinthe had always been produced. It had never been banned. It became extremely popular just before the millennium with the slogan, "We're going to party like it's 1899. So it became exciting that you could compare the end of the 20th century with the end of the 19th century.
Jad Adams, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Jad Adams is the author of Hideous Absinthe, A History of the Devil in a Bottle.